Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 3rd of June, recording at 9:43 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first, the highlights today. Stock markets remain under a bit of pressure. The Asian markets were mostly down following the soft performance that we saw on Wall Street last night. Some of these declines are in the order of 1.5%. That includes Japan, Hang Seng slightly larger, and also the Australian S&P ASX 200 index. European stock markets were down earlier on and then rallied partly after we had comments from Ben Bernanke, including a statement that he was keeping an eye on the U.S. dollar, or words to that effect. At any rate, that helped the U.S. dollar rally, and the European stock markets liked that. Wall Street also opened steady, but then lost its modest gains, and at one point the Dow was down over 150 points. It then clawed back 100 points of that before slipping again, closed down 101. That's 0.81% on the Dow. We had declines of roughly 0.5% for the S&P and the NASDAQ. And against that background, we saw firmer bond prices in the U.S. We'd also seen JGBs rebound in the last couple of days as Japan has come off a bit. We, however, saw a weaker tone for gilts and bund prices in here today. In other words, they're still taking their cue from stock markets, moving inversely, of course. Now, the rally in the dollar put precious metals under a bit of pressure, and we saw, well, currently gold is trading down almost $12, and we've seen lesser declines, silver down 12 cents, platinum down $15. That's a much smaller percentage than the gold decline. And the agricultural commodities, some of them had rallied earlier on, but tended to weaken, and partly because of that dollar rebound, and which wasn't all that strong, but the dollar had been weak early in the day and then rallied. For instance, the euro was up as high as 156.28, then fell to 154.11. Currently trading at 154.50, that's down 86 cents. Okay, crude oil, that's certainly important, last but not least. Crude oil is down $3.61. I think that's a new reaction low following the high at 135, but at any rate, it's trading at 124.15. And natural gas has pushed higher. That change may have something to do with some of the regulatory comments that have been coming out, and they may have also spilled over into the other commodity markets, not least the agricultural markets today. More on that in a moment. Okay, so what's going on here with stock markets generally? Well, the headwinds have been commodity price inflation and concerns over slower GDP growth and therefore downward revisions for corporate profits. Those are quite formidable headwinds, especially since some central banks have kept rates firm or actually raised rates against that background. And I maintain a point that I'd made just before going on a holiday over a week ago, that it looked like we had entered into a reaction phase for stock markets following that pretty good rally, those pretty good rallies that we had seen following the April reaction lows. In other words, stock markets rallied throughout much of April and May, and before running into trouble, losing upward momentum in the second half of May. Now, some have remained much firmer than others, resources markets notably, but they have also faltered in here, or are ranging in here right now. So, how's this going to play out? Well, I think that if we see the crude oil price coming back below $120, and that's distinctly possible, it's too soon to say definitively that we have reached a medium-term peak, but we have certainly seen at least a short-term peak in that crude oil price. And remember, both Owen and I had mentioned for some time that that oil uptrend was steepening, indicating that it was in the latter stages of a medium-term move, not the long-term secular bull market, which I maintain is going to continue for a number of years. But these secular bull moves are punctuated, as you know, by some quite significant reactions in commodity prices. And what's a significant reaction? Well, for thing markets to fall back 20, 30, 40, 50%, sometimes even more. It's not all that unusual. And we do seem to have a greater concerted effort to get the oil price down. I doubt that we're going to see much in the way of an increase in production, but I think that there will be some slowing in demand. That would increase, incidentally, as and when some of the subsidies and energy subsidies are removed. And I think a number of developing countries will have to do that, or already beginning to lower those subsidies. Obviously, that would hit consumption somewhat. Although I personally would be surprised if global oil consumption went into a net decline, but instead of growing at a rate of, say, 2% a year, it might slow down. It could easily halve that, or a bit more. Now, stock markets are again, given all the talk of commodity inflation, I think this is going to remain a headwind here for a while longer. Also, the financial shares, and this concerns me more than the energy price right now, that financial shares continue to be weak, largely because investors are fed up with the statements that we've received from so many Western banks saying that, well, everything's fine, and then a week later there's some sort of massive rights issue or a massive write down has been announced. So really, that old point, a very important, relevant point about markets hating uncertainty. Well, there's plenty of uncertainty regarding the actual state of affairs at these banks, but the news has been, when the surprises do come out, it's bad news, invariably. And so investors are voting for their feet, with their feet, and that's a drag on the broader stock market performance generally. Now, we do need to see upward dynamics here to check this reaction. And meanwhile, without that, and with financial shares under pressure, that does create an environment where it would not be surprising to see these indices move a little lower here in the short term. Again, performance does vary considerably, and I would expect the resources markets to remain stronger overall. That doesn't mean that they won't come somewhat lower, but a number of them had moved up to retest their all-time highs or even move to new all-time highs, led by Brazil. But we'd also seen developed country stock market indices such as Canada's move to a new all-time high last month. Okay, what about the long-dated government bonds? Well, as long as stock markets are weak, bond prices can rally, and that will create another shorting opportunity. The markets are a bit choppy here, but I have an overall policy myself of wanting to short some of these bond futures after we see technical rallies. I've done that from time to time, as many of you may be aware, and I wish I'd done it a bit more often, because I think that long-dated government bonds just do not offer any form of value, and I maintain that the secular bull market in government bonds, and it was a good one that lasted for at least 18 years, but that ended in June 2003. It's very interesting to see attending as an aside, relevant aside, attending a conference today on commodities where Jim Rogers was speaking, that he'd made the same comment that the global bull market and long-dated government bonds ended in June 2003. And we've had a particularly predictably long ranging top formation for bond prices, bottom formation for the long-dated government yields. And that the only thing that is preventing long-dated government bond yields from rallying quite significantly is concern over slowing global GDP growth. I think bond markets will certainly weaken further ahead, in other words, yields rise ahead of the next pickup in global GDP growth, whenever that actually occurs. And I don't know when that will actually occur. We've got this iffy market condition where patterns are mostly ranging, and there's plenty of uncertainty about overall. Valuations aren't too bad in many markets. They're still a bit high in the USA, China, and India, as we know, and that's weighed on performance in those markets. They're more attractive in valuations, that is, more attractive in continental Europe. But then people aren't that optimistic about growth in those countries. So this is just a sort of a drifting, dull market period. That doesn't mean that there aren't individual companies that are performing and individual sectors that are performing. Those have been resources stocks more often than not. But this is not an exciting, dynamic, money-making opportunity. And that, but looking ahead here, the inevitability in markets, and those of you who've attended the chart seminar have heard me say this before, is that there are a few things that you can guarantee in markets, except that from time to time there will be some wonderful, rhythmic, persistent trends, which are great money-making opportunities, and on other occasions there will be these whipsaw, choppy, or dull ranging markets, which do tend to frustrate people. I would say the frustration's understandable, but it doesn't advance any cause that you might have in terms of protecting your and increasing your assets. My view on this is that to first to be a bit cautious. I don't think one needs to do any aggressive selling at these levels, these valuations. And I think that one can nibble judiciously in preferred markets, but not to chase anything up, to nibble on weakness, which are the ones that I would favor. Well, I'd like the resources if they get a genuine shakeout, but I wouldn't pay up. Now I know that some of the top mining companies have come off about 10% recently, but they can be much more volatile than that, and I'm certainly not tempted to sell my positions there. But again, I'm not tempted to add to them either. I'm more interested in what I regard as some of the best long-term Asian investment markets, which have come back quite substantially. I'm thinking of China. India's valuations are still a little bit high, as are China's, but I think these markets deserve higher valuations, and I think that any further easing on India, if we see that, or even at these levels, I think this is where one can begin to nibble in these markets. I also like Vietnam, although I was unaware that the regulators of the Vietnamese market had put a 2% limit on moves, which all that did was prevent the climactic selling, or same degree of climactic selling that we saw in January and February, for most, I beg your pardon, January and March, for most other stock markets. So, in other words, it delayed Vietnam's move to its eventual low, but the market's down probably nearly 60%, and I think yes, they have high inflation problems at the moment, and there's less confidence because of this, what I regard as a regulatory blunder. But that's the time when patient long-term investors begin to nibble, and so that's the type of strategy that I would adopt in these markets. And I think also, as I've said before, that high yield funds are interesting at this time. My only caveat on that is that some of those funds have positions, fairly substantial positions in the financial shares, and the news remains unfavorable. The confidence is low, as I mentioned earlier in this broadcast, and therefore the financial shares can still be a drag on performance in those income funds, and there are remaining uncertainties over the sustainability of existing dividends. So again, I would proceed cautiously, but it's a time to nibble if you're looking to establish long-term positions in the better growth markets that have come down, and also in the income funds. But I certainly wouldn't chase anything on the upside, as I've said before. I'm repeating that point, but it's an important one that needs to be repeated. I don't think we're going to see markets run away from us on the upside anytime soon, and I'm optimistic that we won't see any kind of major collapse either. Okay, what about the currencies? Here, well, Bernanke's comments aside, and I do think that the Fed and other central banks would like to see the dollar remain stable within its current trading range for a while. The U.S. certainly isn't interested in bidding the dollar up into some sort of major rally, and I don't think there's any fundamental reason why that should actually occur. But we almost certainly have net shorts in the US dollar, and they can be squeezed from time to time, and we have certainly seen a bit of that, and we'll see more of it perhaps. Precious metals, I think that they well, let me start in terms of the general overall commodity sector. We're getting talk from politicians and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and high-profile spokesmen such as George Soros and others have been testifying here today in the U.S. So there is a general view that these markets need to be regulated, that there's been too much speculation and too much investment, and this is a cause célèbre for the politicians. And I think that we can argue that speculation and investment has probably had a limited influence on prices. I mean, my feeling is that the tracker funds have driven some of these commodity prices a fair amount higher than they would have otherwise gone, and that we will see some regulatory activity or political jawboning to deter further speculation and investment in particularly emotive food and energy commodities. So I would be cautious in that area. Although that said, while I wouldn't hold, I would not in personally invest. I've never been tempted to invest in a commodity tracker fund. I don't think these markets are ever intended to be long-term asset plays. I've throughout my career, I've traded commodity futures from time to time, both long and short, and will continue to do so again. And I've heard from a reliable source today that the U.S. corn and soybean crops could be in trouble, in the sense that the plantings were delayed and the weather has been cold and extremely wet, so that the growth is not what it should be at this time, and it really will take a bit of bonny sunny weather to improve that situation, and very quickly. Now, if that doesn't occur, we may well see some more upward pressure on the corn and soybean crops. My understanding is that the wheat crop is really quite good. When we actually see that greater strength in corn and soybeans, again, that does depend on how the weather plays out over the short term, but at this stage, the crop's at risk. And what do I mean by at risk? Well, there's certainly not going to be any wipeout, but we could see yields come in 5 to 10% and below what have been forecast and what are currently expected. And that's not insignificant. But very often there's enough uncertainty or confusion regarding the crop that the main action tends to take place in the second half of the year or the early part of the new year. But that's an area that I will certainly be keeping an eye on. As far as precious metals are concerned, they might actually benefit over the medium to longer term from any move away from the energy and food commodities. And I do think that precious metals have probably seen their reaction lows during this medium-term correction, and that they are in accumulation zones again on uneasing. And I think that's pretty much it. So I have to leave earlier tomorrow evening, so Owen may be doing that final broadcast. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.